You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Join the conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. That's how you can email us on anything that's going on today. And we know that you have plenty of things to think about and say about our next guest. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you and to welcome to the studio Brian Greene, physicist. He's the author of two really spectacular books about physics and cosmology, The Elegant Universe and The Fabric of the Cosmos. He's also a part of a PBS television special entitled The Elegant Universe, and is also the co-founder, I believe, or founder of the World Science Festival that's beginning here in New York this week. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
Stephen Dubner, co-author of Freakonomics and author of the Freakonomics blog, is still with us.
I'm here, too.
And Adora, of course, is with us, yes, and she's a physicist as well. but this is a great week for science. I mean, you got the Phoenix lander on Mars. Next month, the Super Collider goes into operation if they don't blow a fuse in Europe. This is a great moment for physics and science. What's your view on the Super Collider? Giant new mysteries will be unraveled?
Oh, I think there's a tremendous possibility that things that we've thought about for decades may be confirmed, and even more exciting, things that we can't even imagine may appear in the data. So we're recreating conditions unseen since a trillionth of a second after the beginning of time.
And that involves basically creating giant, enormous energies to duplicate, as you say, the initial moments of the Big Bang.
That's right. You have protons that go around a tunnel that's about 15 miles in circumference. They go around near the speed of light, 99.99% the speed of light. They go around that tunnel 11,000 times per second, slammed together in 600 million collisions per second. In that debris, we're going to look for clues about how the universe began and how matter is composed.
Do you think the dispute over whether super string theory is valid is going to be resolved by the there are like 6 books on super string theory is hogwash and 6 books saying it's actually describes the universe, but there's no way to test it until this comes online.
And first explain what that is.
String theory?
Mm-hmm.
It's a theory that tries to answer a question that Albert Einstein put forward decades ago, which is there a unified theory of everything, a single equation, a single principle that might describe the big, the small, and everything in between, maybe with one idea?
Magnetism, electricity, gravity, all those forces, can they be described together?
Put them all together. And this idea of string theory has come along in the last couple of decades, and there's a chance, I call it a long shot possibility, that you might test it in this new experiment.
Well, you know, bringing you on the program is fascinating to me for another reason, and that is, you know, looking, you know, I read your book when it first came out, and it seems to me you are in a pantheon of writers who speak to the lay population about sophisticated issues in science. And if you look back to the 1800s, science was part of pop culture back in the 1800s. In the 20th century, it kind of morphed into an expert elite of hyper-specialization. And now we're seeing, and it's something of the focus of your festival, that science, because of the urgency of global warming and energy and other issues, nuclear issues that we've talked about on this program, people are yearning to understand science so they can understand these issues that are relevant to them. It's a whole different world.
That's absolutely right. There's kind of a turning away from science in the public sphere during the last 50, 75 years or so. And we're really trying to help return science to the public, both, of course, through general level books, but also through this World Science Festival of ours that'll bring 40 spectacular events covering science from neuroscience to physics to cosmology, sustainability, to general audiences across New York from May 29 to June 1st.
And tell us a little bit more about the festival. Are there going to be presentations? Is it going to be lectures? Is it for all ages?
It's for kids and adults, and I really stress that it's for both. It's not just one or the other. We have a youth and family program that's going to have Science of Imagination with Disney, Science of Sports, have kids come in to see sports heroes and learn about the underlying ideas in the science. We also have things like Illuminating Genius, a program with Bill T. Jones, Michael York, Matthew Ritchie, and neuroscientists to try to figure out creativity in the brain. What does it look like with imaging?
Bill T. Jones is beautiful.
Absolutely.
He is really awesomely beautiful. So that brings us to your point. Except you're not in the festival, right?
Because I'm not in the festival.
This is a sort of a B-level science.
I'm not qualified. But I do have a question for Brian.
Sure.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to know how reliable we think fMRI experimentation is. So a lot of economists and others, they put
magnetic
a person, magnetic resonance image. They put a person into a tube, they call it, and show them images or give them sensations and see how they respond. And from this, try to generalize psychological and economic.
They're looking at the brain.
Looking at the brain.
That's right.
Right.
It's a very coarse measure right now, as I think everybody would agree. But it's spectacular now that we can look into the brain and see it light up when certain emotions are being felt or certain ideas are being thought. Now, 100 years from now, people will look back on this as really the very, very coarsest approach. But as in any field, you have to start at the beginning and build. So, you know, in this program of ours, you know, it'd be great to see, you know, the brain of Bill T. Jones versus the brain of somebody else and try to get a sense of, well, where's the creative spark? Can you locate it in the brain? It's coarse, but it's beginning.
But hasn't that evolved, though? Because, I mean, you're talking about a CAT scan could first take a look at the brain, and then you had the MRI, and now you have the fMRI, right, which is just more detail, and you would expect that there would be mechanisms that will be even more detailed as we move
on. And there's
forward.
One coming online, fMRI,
that's a big, yeah.
Which is going to combine technologies. So certainly that is the way science progresses. You start with, you know, a sledgehammer, and then you get to, you know, a fine scalpel. And that's really where we're going.
But I think, you know, the trend really is that people are going to understand these evolutions as they develop. And I think there is more of a popularization of science as it's happening that even makes your festival possible at this point. I mean, the trend is already starting to reverse. People are embracing science and trying to understand science in scientific terms.
We certainly see that happening, but we want to broaden the population that's excited about science. So many people still do think of it as intimidating and cold, but if science is presented the right way, it really is exciting, inspirational, compelling, educational, of course, entertaining, and that's what the festival programs are all about.
So
there are 40 programs, worldsciencefestival.com, you can see it all laid out, and there's some really some great things
you
happening.
You were the third person in as many days who's like sort of waxed like crazy enthusiastic about science on this program. I think we're branding ourselves as the like scientist going ape over something. Brian, thanks for joining us. Stay with us because we're going to remember now somebody who I think